Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, and welcome to this beautiful Wednesday, September 20th, 2017, and welcome to Just Us Talks with Tisha. I am your host, Tisha Hillman. This and every Wednesday, we will have conversations via Blog Talk Radio, Periscope, or sometimes Facebook Live, to talk about various issues, not only in the law, but also issues that delve into areas of politics, social justice, and otherwise equality and discrimination. So if you are just tuning in for the first time and have never listened to Just Us Talks with Tisha, I am a Maryland-based attorney. I practice in the areas of family law, personal injury, and also criminal law. So there's always so much that's going on in our society that is worth having a conversation about, from the president, you know, talking before the UN and basically world leaders laughing at him this week, which is always an interesting thing because, you know, if you've listened to my shows before, you know that there is nothing about this president nor this administration that I support for very, very simple reasons. They're all racist and otherwise just hateful people. And, you know, I am all about equality and justice. And so everything this administration does, everything they stand for, flies in the face of what I believe as a human being. And so it's not that I want our country to fail, right? It's more so that I don't support the policies of this president because all of the policies that have been advanced thus far have had either an overt racial or otherwise discriminatory tinge to them, or in their practice, that is what the outcome would be. So take, for instance, the Muslim ban. And although, you know, they wanted to toy at first with the language and claim that it wasn't a ban, we know that from his own political rhetoric and in the campaign cycle, that it was meant to be a ban. So, you know, this administration likes to play with words a lot, to the point where, if you remember, I'm sure everybody remembers, when Kellyanne Conway, who is a mouthpiece for this administration, talked about alternative facts, right? When she was questioned by a reporter about something that she said, or something the president said, instead of saying that these things were outright lies, she came up with new phraseology and termed it alternative facts. Alternative facts, of course, as we know them, are lies. You don't get to invent your own facts, right? And so that's something that this administration does a lot. And I think one thing that has been abundantly clear is that this current president is very immature, even though he's a 70-something-year-old man. He's very emotionally immature. And so he is obsessed with crowd sizes and fake statistics and all of these things that, you know, he does stupid things, you know, like he talked about the ratings of the Emmys, right? Because they made fun of him, right? And so it's funny that he talked about and that's sort of his go-to diss, if you will, about how they're failing and their crowd size was this, and like, I mean, it's you would think that with an earthquake in Mexico, Hurricane Maria pounding down on Puerto Rico in the Caribbean, you would think that he would have more important things to discuss other than the Emmys. But he's a man that it's been clear that he cannot take any form of criticism. And so anytime someone criticizes him, he has to come out and say something that is outright ludicrous. And he does it all the time. Those are his go-to comebacks, if you will. And so, again, it's not that I want our country to fail, because obviously we are all a part of this country, and so the country's failure is our failure. But it's I want, if this administration is going to continue to be a thing, I would like for them to consider all people and the policies that they make, because that's not something that they do. And obviously, I know that what I'm hoping for is never going to happen, because, again, the platform that they ran on is the very opposite of every single thing that justice and equality stands for. And so I just, for the sake of equality for the rest of us, we just have to continue to fight for, you know, what equality means for us. And so I know that there's constant attacks on healthcare, and that's really something that that people need to call their legislators and their state representatives and their federal representatives and write to them, do whatever we need to do in order to save healthcare. And the reason is that people, whether they voted for this president or not, everyone will be impacted in some way by that. Even as a self-employed person, my health insurance on a monthly basis is through the roof. It's absolutely crazy how high the health insurance premiums are, considering that every single year, you know, every January 1st, it renews, and every single year, the policy provisions themselves get worse, but that's not reflected at all in the premiums. And so I imagine those people cannot afford to pay their own health care, or who have people either themselves or in their families who are very ill, who need this health care, and either will be discriminated against again, because they have a pre-existing condition, be subject to policy limits if they have, you know, a very serious condition that requires frequent medical visits or frequent hospitalizations. I know that we all can remember those, I believe it was $1 million caps on insurance coverage. And so basically, if all of your bills added up to over $1 million, guess what? You don't have insurance anymore. Basically, now you're paying out of pocket. And I can't even imagine, and, you know, knock on wood, that never happens. But being in a situation where either myself or someone that I love dealing with a situation in which they are so severely ill that their medical bills reach over $1 million, and now they have to pay out of pocket for every single thing that they do. And I remember specifically President Obama said, when talking about his mom who died of cancer, that no one should basically either go broke or face a death sentence because they cannot afford health insurance. Not in what's supposed to be the wealthiest country in the world. Not in what's supposed to be a democratic country that cares so much about values and liberty and all of these things, not in a country that says that it holds to those beliefs, should such a thing even exist. But that's all I'm going to say about that for now, people. Just know that voting in every single election is important, whether it be your local elections, your state elections, you know, or federal elections where you're voting for the president, vice president, and things like that. So, folks, know that your vote matters, and always vote in every election. And the last thing actually I'm going to say, I'm sorry, the last thing that I'm going to say is when it comes to local elections, those are the elections that really impact us on a day-to-day basis. A lot of people want to wait until there's a presidential election. That only happens every 4 years, folks. But in that time, you're living your life, right? And so in that 4 years, you are going to be impacted by the people that are in office. And so your local elections and your state elections are more important than anything else. Because remember, they're only so limited. But make sure you take the time out to vote every single time there's a local or state election. So when it comes to things of the law, as many of you probably know, every October 1st, there are new laws that come out, that go into effect, at least within the state of Maryland. So there are several new laws that will go into effect, and I won't go into all of them, but I really want to talk about some of the ones I think that directly impact what I do as a practitioner. And as I stated before, I practice in the areas of family law, criminal law, and also personal injury. And so a lot of these laws that go into effect will directly impact those people, family law clients of mine, or people who are considering filing a family law action. So one of the first things that is going into effect on October 1st is essentially there's going to be a definition for what is considered health insurance. And I know sometimes, these things may come across to everyday people as just, legal parlance. But I want to be clear that words have very real meanings. And so when you say things like health insurance, that actually means something beyond what lay people think about when they think about health insurance. And so in our current law, at least until the next 2 weeks, when it came to health insurance for child support purposes, you can get credit if you're paying for health insurance for your child. You can get a credit, if you will, on the Maryland child support guidelines. So basically that's factored into whatever the guideline child support will be set as when it is calculated. So under our current laws, the guidelines are calculated using any actual cost of providing health care for a child. If you are responsible either jointly or severally responsible for a child, any health care cost that you are providing is covered under what is deemed quote unquote health insurance. Now, as of October 1st, it won't be as encompassing, and it's going to be very, very specific and very narrowed. And so health insurance as of October 1st is going to be described as medical, dental, prescription, and vision insurance. So it will no longer be any actual cost of providing health insurance. It's going to be narrowed to those four categories. And so if you have a child support case in which you were paying child support and you were, maybe paying health insurance or some other cost of providing health insurance for your child, you may want to leave that the same and not take advantage of the new laws that are going into effect. And so what I want to say is this also. So when it comes to new laws, it's not really clear from a practical standpoint whether or not that will impact these new changes will impact cases that have already been filed, or will they only impact cases that are filed after October 1st? Because it really varies from law to law. And I don't have all of the specifics yet, and that will probably come out in the new rule book that we get in terms of when they will take effect and who they will impact. But for now, just know that the health insurance and what's deemed to be health insurance is going to be a lot more narrowed come October 1st. Now, one of the other things that relates to child support is this. Current law, if you are 120 or more days behind in child support, you probably know that you face the risk of having your business, occupational, professional, as well as your driver's license suspended. And so what the new law is going to do is it's going to distinguish between a non-commercial driver's license and a commercial driver's license. It's also going to entitle those, as I just stated, with business, occupational, professional license holders, it's going to allow you to request an investigation before your license is suspended. And it's going to allow you to basically contest if the arrearage is wrong, if the impending suspension is going to impede your employment, that's going to impact your primary source of income, if you have been making good faith payments towards the child support, if there's an undue hardship, either due to a documented disability that's resulting from your inability to, a documented disability that's resulting in an inability to work or an inability to just comply with the child support order. So it's going to take a look at these things before determining whether or not your professional license will be suspended. Because one of the things that is good about that is if someone, for instance, is a commercial truck driver, they have an other professional license that is now impacted by child support arrearage. How are you supposed to make good on the arrearage and pay child support going forward if your very source of income is impeded by a failure to make child support payments, right? So it's the circular logic that is happening right now where, you know, and the same thing, I guess, applies to people being incarcerated for non-payment of child support, although that's not something that has changed, and I want to be clear about that. But if someone is incarcerated, how can they pay child support? Now, I do believe that there needs to be penalties for failure to provide for your child because children have needs, and someone is going to pay for those needs, whether it be the state or the other parent. Someone is going to pay for those needs of your child, and so it's not really fair to do that to someone else, if specifically if you have the ability to provide for your child. Now, as I just said, the law is certainly, will make provisions for people that have disabilities and things like that, as it always has. And so if you are dealing with a situation where your professional license is being impacted by child support, you want to make sure that you talk to an attorney, because once the new law goes into effect, I'm not sure whether or not it's going to change if you already have an arrearage or if it's going to cover any arrearages that occur after October 1st. But you want to make sure that you talk to a lawyer about your case if you have any questions about your professional license being impacted because of child support. Clear, though, like I said, it is from your primary source of income. And just so, say for instance, you are a full-time employee somewhere, but yet you are also an Uber driver. That may not impact you for the reason that being an Uber driver is not your primary source of revenue. So you want to just be, it's the law is going to be very, very clear, I hope, at least from what I'm reading. You know, I'm sure there will be some hiccups, as there always are, but eventually it'll be worked out. So if you have any questions, you can certainly give my office a call at 301-744-7996, and I can help you sort that out if you have a case that you think will be impacted by this new law. Now, one of the other things that I want to talk about, because this is a law that I'm not really sure, I kind of have mixed feelings about this one. Now, this is as it pertains to domestic violence orders. Now, domestic violence orders as they stand were changed, I believe, back in 2015. And so what happened is the state legislature in Maryland made it easier for people that are victims of domestic violence to obtain orders of protection, whether it be interim, temporary, or final. They made it easier for people to get orders of protection by lowering the standard of proof required for getting an order of protection. So up until about, I guess it was 2014, the middle tier, and I think I've talked about this on the show before, which is clear and convincing. And so the new standard is the lowest tier of proof, which is, my words right now, and maybe it's still too early for my brain, but I just said it, and I'm sorry, my brain just drew a complete blank. It's right now, it's the lowest preponderance of the evidence. I'm so sorry. I'll probably go back and edit this because, you know, I promise, it's just coffee I'm drinking. But anyway, folks, I digress. So it's at the preponderance of the evidence standard, which is the lowest standard of proof in the law. And so as of October 1st, what's going to happen is that interim, temporary, and final orders of protection that are granted in a domestic violence action are going to be inadmissible evidence in family law matters. Now, that includes divorce, custody, and custody modification cases. So, you know, orders of protection, at least final orders of protection, were already inadmissible evidence, specifically in divorce actions and specifically for purposes of proving cruelty of treatment. And cruelty of treatment is one of the grounds for divorce in Maryland. And you could not use the granting of a final protective order as proof of cruelty of treatment in a divorce action, even prior to, any discussions about this new law. But now not only is it going to be inadmissible in cruelty of treatment, but it's going to be inadmissible in any divorce action, and it's going to be inadmissible and other family law matters. Now, the reason that I think this is a mixed bag is because in custody matters in particular, there are several factors that the court looks at when they're determining what's in the best interest of the child when granting custody. And so they do look at, past history of abuse, because that's very, very relevant. If someone has been abusing their partner, and now they're trying to go for custody, that can certainly be a problem. And the reason being is because, not to say that just because you abuse your spouse that you're also going to abuse your children, your very relationship with the child's parent is going to impact your relationship with the child. I've seen this far too often where someone, may treat their the other parent of their child with utter disdain, right? And what I've seen is the way that they talk about that other parent to the child is harmful to the child. So even though the parent may not abuse the child because they have abused the other parent, it still is something that the court, I believe, in custody proceedings. Now, again, like I stated, this bites both ways. because if you have a situation, and I've seen this as well, where people will just file out of anger and not because anything actually happened, to put them at risk of violence or threats or anything like that. But people will file protective orders sometimes, either out of spite, out of anger, or even sometimes just to get a leg up in the divorce or custody proceeding. I find it more common in custody than anything. And so people will file these protective orders knowing that they have no basis and taking advantage of the fact that the law has reduced the standard of the standard of proof to the preponderance of the evidence. So now they know it's easier to get protective orders, can help me in our upcoming custody case or the custody case that I want to file. And so that's why I think it's problematic, is because when you have a situation where someone is actually being abused, now that history and that evidence of abuse will be deemed inadmissible. And so basically what this new law is going to do is it'll prevent the courts from considering compliance with a protective order as reasons for grounds to grant either a limited or an absolute divorce. So, again, as I stated, sometimes things work out in theory, and they sound good in theory, but when it comes to the practice, it makes things a little bit more complicated. So my understanding is the sponsors and the proponents of this new bill, which is actually called House Bill 293. So the proponents of House Bill 293, they basically stated that, or they you know, their reasoning behind this was they believe that the current has become obsolete. And they also believe that it can save domestic violence victims from relitigating the abuse. So I'm actually quite fascinated by this bill because I don't understand their logic in thinking that it'll streamline anything or even save domestic violence victims from relitigating the abuse. And it's one thing to not relitigate the abuse. It's one thing to not consider it. Because obviously if you are a victim of domestic violence and your child is involved, you certainly want the court to know that when it comes to any custody proceedings or even any divorce proceedings. So, you know, folks, I don't necessarily agree with the logic behind House Bill 293, and maybe I need to think about it a little bit more and do a little bit more reading on it. But just from what the bill will say on its face, I don't know how it's going to be helpful in custody cases in particular. But either way, folks, these are some of the new bills that are going to become effective as of October 1st, 2017. If you have any questions about any of the new laws that will become be effective as of October 1st, these are not the entirety of the new changes. There are several. There's another one that's called Amber's Law, as it pertains to electronic monitoring for protective orders and domestic violence cases. So there are a couple of different things that are going to be effective. And if you have any questions about it, give my office a call. But until next week, folks, take care. And always remember that sometimes in the law, it's just us.